And welcome now to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we have live music in our studio for you for the hour today. And of course, in addition to the 12:30 quiz question and the treasure trove, which goes to some person who gets the right answer to our quiz question, all of that to be sorted out by 1 o'clock between now and then. Lots of music from various places, all played by Miles McConnell, who is a Madison area guitarist, but like most musicians, travels widely and performs broadly. And he has a smorgasbord of music for us today from various countries. And welcome to the midday, Miles McConnell.
Thanks a lot, Norman. It's great to be with you.
And so you hail originally from Florida, and you have a fairly long guitar career behind you. And how did you get into it, though? Is it a matter just of it's a convenient instrument to pick up, or was there some more precipitous way that you got into it?
Well, like a number of musicians out there, I was kind of given the gift of music from a parent, from my father in my case, at a very young age. In fact, I think he says that he was playing Segovia recordings with the speaker up to my mother's womb prior to birth, even. And so I had it kind of in my ears and perhaps in my blood. And when I was about five, I got my first guitar at three, but when I was five, I started taking 10-minute lessons every day with my father, who was a serious amateur classical guitarist. And then a few years later, I got another teacher, and I just continued on. It felt very natural for me, and it was just something that I was kind of surrounded with, and I just embraced it, and I've continued to do that.
Well, one thing that I suppose a lot of amateur musician families overlook is that you actually need a fairly decent instrument in order to get that person even into playing. I mean, the guitar in particular, you have to have a certain level of quality so that you can even tune the thing right.
Very true.
Otherwise, too discouraging, I would think, for the young performer.
That's right. And having been a teacher for a number of years, I've seen a wide range of quality in terms of guitars. And I always, you know, encourage families who have children who are beginning to just, you know, find a guitar or an instrument that is of decent quality. They don't have to spend a lot of money. And these days, you can get quite a good instrument for inexpensive. But when I was five, my guitar was a half-size guitar. Then when I was eight, I got a three-quarter size guitar that was a German-made instrument, a pretty good instrument. And then by 10, I had a full-size instrument made by a luthier based in Florida named Agostino Loprinzi, whose guitars I played for years. So I was fortunate, yes, to have pretty good instruments all the way through.
Well, one thing about the guitar in the 19th century, which is when it came into really its own as a classical music instrument.
Yes.
Well, of course, it's a very convenient instrument, nice and portable, and was able to spread around tunes that would come from operas, and that was a great way to spread those tunes back in the 19th century, because opera was not available to everybody, couldn't be afforded by everybody, but you could sure get the tunes out there with a good guitar arrangement.
Absolutely. So I will begin my little program here this afternoon with one such arrangement. It's what we call an operatic fantasy, which is kind of a fancy word or a 19th century word for medley, basically, of tunes from the opera. So this is a fantasy on themes from La Traviata by Giuseppe Verdi, and this was put together on the guitar by a Spaniard, Julián Arcas, who is actually one in a long lineage of guitarists that kind of actually lead up to Segovia in a way, because Arcas then influenced Francisco Tárrega, who in turn influenced Miguel Jubet, whose music I'll play a little bit later, who influenced Segovia, and so on. So, yeah, this is just a really fun medley or fantasy on the Traviata, so opera fans will recognize the tunes, and if you're listening out there, feel free to sing along.
Thank you.
Some themes from La Traviata, the original opera, of course, by Verdi, and those themes worked up by Julian Arcas, who was a 19th century or later 19th century composer. And I think you got the drinking song in there, too, at the beginning, or at least some references to it. But great way to hear some of those tunes. Must have been a very popular way for people to hear tunes. I have a guitarist traveling through town and share those. Miles McConnell is my guest today. He'll be playing throughout the midday today, live in our studio here, and yours to enjoy. Now, the thing about the guitar, one of the things about the guitar, Miles, is that a lot of the music that guitarists play was not written for the guitar.
Correct. Yes. The guitar has been around for actually a very long time in some iteration or another. As you say, it did come into its own finally in the 19th century. But of course, there are types of guitars that even go back to the Middle Ages, types of plucked stringed instruments. But yeah, so there's always been music written for the instrument. Actually, going back to the Renaissance, there was music written for the lute, later music written for the Baroque guitar. But arrangements, transcriptions have always been a big part of our repertoire, and so we like to steal a lot from other instruments and to make arrangements of popular tunes and things like that.
That being said, however, there are, as of, well, yeah, the 19th century in particular, and then certainly into the 20th, composers who did write for the guitar expressly and for the guitarists who were so prominent in those years. It seems that the virtuoso guitarist really came into his or her own as you get into the 19th century and had some great repertoire. And as we get into this work from Miguel Yobé, he was one of the most prominent of guitar composers early 20th century.
Indeed he was, and as I mentioned briefly earlier, he was actually a pretty important influence on Andre Segovia, who of course brought the guitar to concert stages all around the world and influenced so many who came after him. So yes, Jobet was a great guitarist and a wonderful composer and arranger, and the music that I prepared for today is kind of like his settings. There's something almost maybe beyond arrangements, because they're taking these tunes and then he's really making something really brand new. So in a way we could consider them arrangements. I sort of like to think of them as settings. Maybe that's a minor distinction. But they're just beautiful pieces that are based on Catalan or Northern Spanish folk tunes. And so I'd like to play three of them this afternoon. I'll begin with Canso del Yadre, the Song of the Thief.
I like the title.
Yes. It's actually, he must have been a very charming thief, because it's a very beautiful piece. And then we have the Testament of Amelia, second and of this little set, and followed by El Noi de la Mare, which is actually a Catalan Christmas carol, translates to the Son of the Mother, so it's kind of a homage to Mary as well as the baby Jesus, and so very appropriate for this season. And one quick story I'd like to tell about this little set here, particularly that last piece that I'll play here, the El Noi de la Mare, is that I got the opportunity last summer to go to Spain, and to I was going with a group that was a group of classical guitarists that was led by Rene Izquierdo, who is professor of guitar at UW-Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's been on this show a couple of times now.
Yes, and wonderful guitarist, wonderful teacher, great person. And so we were in a place called Carrion de los Condes, which is a small little village in northern Spain in the middle of the Camino de Santiago pilgrimage trail, which is a famous pilgrimage trail which actually begins in France and goes all the way to Compostela, to the famous basilica that is there. And so we were about at the halfway point, and so we met pilgrims who had been walking for about 2 weeks and had about two more weeks to go. And we were giving concerts, actually, each evening in little churches in little neighboring villages where we were based. And so the pilgrims who were walking and the local townspeople would come out and enjoy the concerts, and then we would have workshops and things like that for the guitarists during the day. But we arrived in one little village one afternoon, and I was we were just kind of hanging out waiting for the concert to begin in the little local church there, and I kind of found a little park bench to just warm up, and some of the local townspeople were out and about, and I started to play this piece, El Noi de la Mare, and some of the locals started singing along.
Oh, what fun.
And it was really a memorable experience and very lovely. And I actually kind of was surprised, because I wasn't sure if this was really a tune that people knew anymore. And, you know, it's in Catalan and all that. But we were in the right place for that to happen. So I always sort of think of that when I play this piece. So anyway, I hope that listeners out there enjoy this little set of Catalan folk songs by Miguel Jobet.
Three songs, popular songs, Catalonian popular songs, as set by Miguel Llobet, and performed live in our studio here by Miles McConnell. As we get into the 19th century and, well, even into the early 20th, are some of those guitar special effects things that go back into the early 19th century? I'm thinking of the bell tones and some of the harmonics, or are those things that come in more into the 20th century?
A great question, and I think that they start appearing more and more in the later 19th century and continue on into the 20th century. There maybe was a little bit of that in the earlier 19th century music, but I don't think a whole lot, like in the music of Soar and Giuliani.
Right.
But yes, you hear all these, the harmonics and the different, all the range of colors that we can get on the guitar is really one of the great charms of the guitar, and really what makes it the lovely instrument that it is, all those colors.
And now back to live music here in our studio with Miles McConnell, a Madison area guitarist and one who has traveled broadly, as we've already heard. And musically, we're traveling broadly during this hour, too, having been to Spain and Italy in one work or another. Now we're going to hear from one of the most prominent of guitar composers, a contemporary of Beethoven. In fact, Mauro Giuliani played, I think it was the viola, the debut of the, which one, 7th Symphony or 8th? 7th, I think.
I thought maybe it was the cello in the 7th Symphony, but nonetheless, he did rub shoulders with Beethoven and was actually in that first performance of one of Beethoven's symphonies, yes.
And he, along with Fernando Sor, I would say, more than anyone else, brought the guitar into the classical repertory in the early 19th century.
Absolutely, and each of those composers were quite prolific and have left us a wonderful sort of treasure trove of repertoire. So this piece is one, the one that I'm going to play is called The Rose, and it's one of a set of 10 short character pieces, actually. The set is called The Emblematic Bouquet, and each of the movements, if you like, or pieces in the set are named after various flowers. And they're all really lovely. I think this one may be the true gem of the bunch. Forgive me for mixing my metaphors there, but it really is a charming little character piece and sort of very typical of this, like, I guess we could call it early Romanticism, sort of bridging that gap maybe between the classical style and the Romantic style.
The Rose by Mauro Giuliani. Thank you. Rose, a character piece by Mauro Giuliani, who not only wrote short pieces, but also extended works for guitar sonatas, and he has a concerto or two to his name, too, doesn't he?
Indeed he does. And yeah, he has some extended solo pieces, too, the Rossinianas, which are kind of variations on works by Rossini, of course, who was like the most popular composer of his day, I think, in Italy and beyond during that point. So you kind of hear a little bit of the Rossini influence, I think, with throughout Giuliani's music, even in that little piece.
And of course, well, another composer who wrote kind of on the side for the guitar was Paganini, who wrote those charming little sonatas for violin and guitar.
Oh, absolutely. And Paganini, yes, wrote a number of really good works for the guitar. And actually, there's a wonderful disc that goes back to the 1970s with John Williams, the guitarist,
oh, the trio.
And Itzhak Perlman. And they're doing Paganini and Giuliani. That's what they're doing. And so Paganini and Giuliani both wrote a number of works for violin and guitar duet, which are beautiful.
And so the instrument was quickly, actually, getting into the mainstream early in the 19th century. Well, this takes us to a different time and a place you would not expect guitar music to come from or even necessarily about, although there's some wonderful early Scottish lute music, but not the guitar so much. And so what is the origin of this Clyde suite?
Yes, well, this music was written by a man named Ron Moore, who passed away just a few years ago after a long life and career as a guitar teacher, mostly based in Glasgow. I think he was an Englishman by birth, but spent most of his days in Scotland, and was an influential teacher who was a teacher of David Russell, the famous classical guitarist,
sure,
and also Martin Taylor, a very fine and well-known jazz guitarist. And so this music really is kind of Ron Moore doing his, I guess, kind of an imitation, but it's beyond an imitation. It's really him writing pieces in the style of Celtic folk music for solo guitar. And that's actually a tradition in terms of arranging folk music. We've been talking about that for the guitar, and that goes back. So I think that you mentioned Scottish lute music. I don't know all the history of that. It would be something definitely to look into. But I think that Celtic music has been arranged on the guitar for a little while now.
Crossover between the harp and the guitar, you think?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, of course, the harp being a very important instrument in Celtic traditional music. And so you'll hear even a few effects in this music that bring to mind the Celtic harp, perhaps. So these pieces are actually, there are four short movements in this little suite. And they're all named after specific islands, actually, or isles, off of the sort of southwestern coast of Scotland. So we have the Isle of Bute, followed by Isle of Cumbrae, Isle of Arran, and then Wee Cumbrae. And I actually got the chance to visit this part of Scotland, so I kind of learned these pieces to take there. And then David Russell himself was at this event that I was at. It was called the Classical Guitar Retreat. And again, Rene Esquierdo was there, and a wonderful Scottish guitarist named Matthew McAllister was hosting it. And it was the 10th anniversary of this event that brings guitarists from all over the world to a beautiful little church called the Cathedral of the Isles. And we were giving concerts in there. And so I had the opportunity to be on Isle of Cumbrae playing this music where David Russell was part of this for his early teacher, Ron Moore. So it was a really nice moment there. And these are just lovely pieces, so I know the listeners will enjoy them.
Well, it's certainly evocative of Scottish music, isn't it? Those little Scottish snaps, I think, are part of what's happening there. And the Clyde Suite by Ron Moore, a contemporary work featuring four isles off of the coast, the southwest coast of Scotland. And now back to my guest, Miles McConnell. And we travel next to Venezuela, I believe.
Yes, so the next little set of pieces, there's three of them, and they are three Venezuelan waltzes by Antonio Lauro, another virtuoso guitarist, but this time a guitarist from Latin America, from Venezuela. And so what we're going to hear here is very characteristic of Latin American music. That is, a lot of the really syncopated rhythms, the kind of accenting the offbeats or the unexpected part of the beat, and very dance-like music, and very also vibrant and catchy melodies and things like that in this music. So the first two are entitled Tatiana and then Andreina, and those are actually dedicated to and named after two of the composer's nieces. And then the third of this little set is actually a kind of musical self-portrait of the guitarist composer, El Marabino, which simply means the man from Maracaibo. That's the city in Venezuela where Lauro was from. So, three Venezuelan waltzes by Lauro.
Fun and lovely stuff. And that gives us room to move right along to Japan.
Yes. So the last piece that I'd like to play this afternoon on the program is a very famous melody, Sakura, the Song of the Cherry Blossoms. And this is a kind of setting of that, a theme and variations, really, by a Japanese guitarist, Yogihiro Yoko. And what you're going to hear really here is the guitar imitating various traditional Japanese instruments, such as the koto, a Japanese zither, and other things like that. So there's a lot of special effects in this, and it's very, very evocative of sort of being in a Japanese garden with the cherry blossoms in bloom and all of that.
Well, that's a richly realized version of that very familiar Japanese tune, Sakura, and performed live in our studio by my guest today, Miles McConnell. And the composer, again, for that?
Was Yogihiro Yoko.
And I think we occasionally run across other things by Yoko.
Yes, indeed. And there's a bunch of wonderful composers from Japan. And, of course, Takamitsu wrote extensively for the guitar as well. So there's a wonderful guitar tradition in Japan, actually.
And a lot of guitar players who come out of Japan these days, too.
Indeed, there are, yes. And very good ones.
Well, thanks for coming by the midday today, Miles McConnell. You have any concerts coming up?
My pleasure. A few things. Yeah, the big one that folks might be interested in is actually I play in a guitar duo, classical guitar duo, with great local guitarist Gabor Zvardash. And he and I perform under the name Red and Black. And we will be playing on February 23rd at the Overture Center as part of their international festival.
Oh, what a nice
so
idea.
The time will be TBA on that, but between all-day affair and really, really nice. And folks can check out milesmcconnell.com or Facebook Miles McConnell Guitarist for other performances.
Well, great. Thanks again.
Thank you.